With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all of last weekend's matches as we're live at Matlock Town's Causeway Lane on Tuesday evening. We'll also be previewing all this weekend's matches in all three divisions as we're joined by Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post, by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and of course, James Hayes. We're also joined by Swampy and Mark Duffy from the Ilkeston Advertiser. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So hello everyone and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. Coming up, we're going to be previewing all the fixtures in all three divisions of the Northern Premier League, as we're going to be joined by James Hayes, by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and by Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post. That's coming up later in the show. We're also going to be catching up with Mark Duffy from the Ilkeston Advertiser with an update on Ilkeston. And very, very shortly, we're going to be heading over to Causeway Lane on Tuesday evening for Matlock Town against Spennymoor. We'll be joining Swampy and myself for a look back at all Saturday's fixtures from Causeway Lane very, very shortly. But before that, unfortunately, and you know, here on EvoStick Extra and the MPL show, we do like to keep things as light as possible and good-natured, but unfortunately, sometimes life isn't like that. And last week, Skelmersdale United suffered a bit of a blow just 48 hours after their relegation from the Premier League division was confirmed. The club announced that they were being refused a new lease on their Stormy Corner ground, which basically would threaten the club going forward. There is better news this week, as Prescott Cables have announced a ground share agreement with Skelmersdale United for next season. We'll be discussing that in a second, but before that, let's hear the lie of the land from last week, as Caroline Barker and the guys there at the Pitchero non-league show caught up with vice chairman at Skelmersdale United, Norman Fenney.
At this moment in time, the present landlord will not renew our lease. We do have a legal right to an extension to the lease, but he seems determined not to give it to us. So, as of tomorrow, yeah, the 31st, we will not be playing football at any level next season.
Do you have no option, or is it no money to kind of fight this with the lease?
Yes, well, we have gone. It is in the hands of our solicitor, who's looked at it all. He's looked at the lease, and he said, you know, that we have a legal right to a renewal of the lease. My family goes back to the first year of its Skelmersdale United Football Club in 1882. We have also got other committee members whose family go back a long, long way, and you know, we've been to Wembley twice. We've absolutely had some fantastic times with Skelmersdale United Football Club. We've met some great friends all over the country. At this moment in time, we are getting sort of tweets and emails and texts from all over the country, even from as far as America, Saudi Arabia, people expressing their concern. We also have a club called the Menaces, who are disabled people who use our ground and use our facilities whenever they need them. He doesn't seem to realise it's going to affect them. It's not only that, it's going to affect people that work at the club. You know, we have a social club that I assume will close. So he's putting people out of work there. You know, groundsman is putting him out of work. It's absolutely unbelievable, and it's heartbreaking, to be honest.
I get that, Norman, and I think nearly all of us have been involved in clubs that have seen it go, and what that does rip out of the community. Is there any chance of a ground share? Is it too late for you to try and find somewhere else?
We're going down every avenue possible, you know. We're looking around, and there's not many clubs in this area that we could ground share with, because most of them are already tied up with ground shares, the likes of Marine and Southport and most other clubs at our level. They're all sort of tied up in ground share agreements. You know, so it's something that obviously we're going to keep pursuing as long as we can, because we are at our ground legally till November. But like I say, we have to have security of tenure tomorrow, by tomorrow evening. Otherwise, we'll get thrown out of the Northern Premier League. We won't be allowed into the Northwest Counties. So I think the next step would be down to sort of the Lancashire League or something of that, you know, that nature.
Big thank you there to the Pitchero Non-League Show and Caroline Barker for that interview. That was Norman Fenny there, Vice Chairman at Skelmersdale United. And as you could hear, it was, dark times. It was on the eve of the deadline for the club to confirm security of tenure. And the relatively good news is that thanks to Prescott Cables, Skelmersdale United have a ground for next season. And joining me now to discuss where next for Skelmersdale United, we're joined by local match reporter and friend of the show, it's Neil Leverbarrow. Hello, Neil, how are you?
Hello, Ben, and hello to the listeners.
I know. So the last time we had you on, it was towards the start of the season, actually, and we're talking about, you know, the optimism for Skelmersdale United for the season to come. And it's just been one of them seasons for Skelm. Someone has to finish bottom. But the club really didn't need this towards the end of the season.
That's right, they certainly didn't. And, yeah, the season hasn't gone as it was planned. It happens like that sometimes, as we say. But, yes, there's plenty of negatives you can take for them moving to Prescott. But, yes, I think if long-term it could finish up with pushing Skelmersdale in a direction that may be for the long-term good, in my opinion. A little bit of imagination is needed and a little bit of endeavour, if you like. I mean, I've often wondered what the position would be that there's a massive piece of land in Skelmersdale called Blaygate Lane, playing field, where a lot of Sunday football used to be played a few years ago. And the sad demise of Sunday football could work in Skelmersdale's favour, in my opinion. I wonder if West Lancashire District Council could see the way through to giving Skelmersdale a peppercorn rent on a lease, on the ground, to develop a local football facility, if you like, and sports facility, stadium. There's loads of room on there, and it wouldn't take that much.
Obviously, that's going to take time to get through all the planning and all the fundraising and that kind of thing. The immediate concern, as you could hear from Norman there, was the very future of the club, the very existence of the club. They were talking, if you couldn't get that security of tenure for next season, it wasn't just a case of demotion out of the Northern Premier League. That would mean also demotion out of the Northwest Counties. And then you are literally talking a field to play around in Skelmersdale. So the good news from all of this is the fact that there is going to be a Skelmersdale United next season. It will be in Division 1 North, sure, but there's a future there now. Plus, there's also, you could hear from Norman there, the legal avenues, which we're not going to go too far into for obvious reasons, those haven't been exhausted just yet.
Oh no, I'm sure the club will try and get back into negotiation. The obvious move is to try and see if they can still remain on the Stormy Corner ground. But to be quite honest, you've got to go a bit tongue-in-cheek on that, because you don't know what's going to happen. But Prescott have been generous enough to allow Skelmersdale to come on with them on there, and it will give Skelmersdale a bit of breathing space and an opportunity to gather up the thoughts, so to speak, and decide what they're doing. The club's got a future, and that is the important thing.
At this stage as well, we mentioned Prescott Cables there. They really are the knight in shining armour in all this, coming in, and it was pretty much last minute, and to offer the deal, to get this agreement in place before that 31st of March deadline. It's superb stuff and shows what West Lancashire football's all about.
It has indeed, and Prescott have been long neighbours, and there's long associations between the clubs with players, managers and different things, and Prescott have had their own troubles over recent years, and I was down there earlier in the week, and they seem to have balanced up a little bit, and they seem to see the club that's going places now with some decent attendances coming in.
Absolutely. So Obviously, it's too early to say where next for Skelmersdale United, but at this stage, it's just brilliant news that Skelmersdale is going to be in the Northern Premier League next season, kicking a ball about on a pitch somewhere in West Lancashire. And, well, on behalf of all the listeners, for everyone connected with Skelmersdale United, we really do wish you the best of luck. And, well, our heart goes out to you at the moment, but hopefully new things can come of this.
Well, there's plenty of new things, as we've said, and that's it. You've got to be, you've got to try and find the positives among it.
So, welcome everybody to Causeway Lane on a Tuesday evening. We're here for the game between Matlock Town and Spennymoor Town. And when I say we, I mean myself, Ben, and this guy over here, Swampy. What do you reckon to that half then? Spennymoor 3-0 up?
Yeah, good evening, Ben, and good evening, listeners. Well, a tentative start by both teams, but Spennymoor themselves have eased themselves into a game. A couple of defensive mistakes have gifted them two goals, and the third goal was a well-taken and punished, good in the air, and then a turn and volley for the number nine, who's been instrumental in everything they've done this evening, Glenn Taylor. But Taylor, Armstrong and Johnson, the three top men, just never given Matlock a chance to settle down in the whole of the game. But Matlock, 2 weeks ago, it was the same. They were 3-0 down, and they came back into the game in the second half, and it's been a poor performance. Two or three players not really been or shown up as of yet, the middle of the park primarily, and I say defensive mistakes as well. But second half, they've got an opportunity to get back into this. They're still up there in the title race, but if things stay as they are, we know Spennymoor are going to second spot based on goal difference, and they are value for it, and they're now playing at a little bit of an ease. I think if they get a fourth, then it is game over really, and the only real challenge is whether or not Matlock can keep the score down and they can play for pride and maybe even try and get back into the game, which would be great to do. So we love coming here over the years, as you and I have commentated for FC United, but I can't see really at this moment in time anything but a Spennymoor win, and we can see why, in all fairness, why they've been so good all season.
Now, obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday night, so there's matches taking place tonight. We know some scores. It's 0-0 between Buxton and Ilkeston, with the Twitterfeed saying absolutely nothing to report. So that's good news. But there are some matches taking place on Wednesday too, plus Spennymoor in action on Thursday. They're hosting Ilkeston. And speaking of Ilkeston, we're going to be hearing from Mark Duffy in the show this week. Obviously, there was a problem at the weekend. The player's not willing to travel to Workington, but they have received, the league's now received a written undertaking that they will complete the season.
And so they should have a duty of care, because they're going to be relegated this season, but they've got a duty of care to turn up and not just give teams 3 points, especially when there are points that are for, like, I mean, Workington they never turned up for, so perhaps that'll be a rearranged fixture now. Well, indeed, they've lost the 3 points already. Spennymoor's another one, and they're playing against teams that, you know, these 3 points will be wonderful for them. But yeah, I'm glad that they've got the undertaking. We've spoken about it on Wax and Recall too many times about the demise of the football club. Let's hope they're here this time next season. But at this moment in time, they've got an undertaking. The league, they've written to the league and said we will fulfil our fixtures. So good luck to them, and that's what we can really say about them at this moment in time.
Now, it's a bit harsh on Workington, because obviously Workington, at time of recording, are in 10th position. They are playing Ashton United. It's currently 1-1 on Tuesday. But they could have done with that game.
Well, they could have, because even if they win tonight, they're the 10th. They can only go as far as 9th. But if that win on Saturday against Ilson, 6 points would have taken you probably about 6th, maybe even 6th or even 5th. So they'll be disappointed that the game's not taken place, but just be thankful that they'll have another opportunity to do so. Although we don't know what the league have said yet, it'll be interesting to know what the league will do, whether that game has to be replayed or the 3 points are given to Workington. I'm not quite sure. Late stage of the season, it'll be very interesting to see what the league decide. But I think, in fairness to everybody, it would be better if they played them again.
We'll do this in reverse order then, with regards to the playoff race. For Grantham aren't playing midweek, so at time of recording they're in 9th. They've done that with a very handy 2-0 away win at Frickley Athletic. Come to Frickley in a second, but for Grantham, still in this, absolutely.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, as I say, we talk week in, week out, and month in, month out, that, you know, how tight this division is. There's not a tighter division anywhere else. I mean, it's that compact there. And Grantham with 41 games, 67 points, you know, they'll be looking to push on. No game tonight, say, no week, a midweek game for them, because they played the 41 games. That may be the only thing. But the teams in the round have played 41, 42. I mean, Starbridge have played 42 already on 73 points. You know, so it's interesting. I mean, Starbridge last night. You know, Hensford had looked like, I suppose, a local derby of sorts. And, you know, a point in perhaps at the moment is a steady the ship for Starbridge now, because they've not had the best of results in the last few weeks. But
that followed up another a 1-0 draw with Buxton. But then again, that's not a bad result, is it?
But the tough games at the right at this end of the season. I think Starbridge would have preferred to be a little bit further away from the chasing pack, so to speak, without having such a tremendous season. They'll be looking to finish strong in the playoffs, but as I say, two draws, 2 points opposed to six.
There are a few teams having a bit of a wobble at the moment. I mean, Buxton, they might win tonight. Chances are they probably will, but I don't want to jinx it for either side. But teams are having kind of inconsistent spells, and Stourbridge are one of those teams.
Yeah, they are, and they've played 42 games, but they've got the points on the board. They've got 73 points, so there's a slight cushion. You know, Buxton at this moment in time, 68, they win tonight, obviously, that's 71, so they'll be on the tails. And it'll be interesting to see how Stourbridge could actually deal with that. But there's more than Stourbridge. I mean, there's more than that many teams. I mean, you've got, you know, Warrington, Spennymoor, Whitby, Buxton, Matlock, maybe Grantham, certainly Grantham, Workington. These teams, you know, they're all on looking for someone to make that slip up and to be in with the shout at that top five spot. I mean,
at the minute, it's not Warrington. Warrington won 2-0 away at Barwell on Saturday, and
big result for them. Good game for them. You know, they're defying all the pundits on the Northern Premier League show.
Not me.
Well, no, Ben, because you're devil's advocate, and you're paid a fortune to be neutral. In pies, that is, and we have to say the pie, peas and gravy here tonight.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I had pie, I had chips and peas with a nice bit of mint sauce on the finest in Derbyshire this evening. No, I mean, you know.
Good noise. Let's just mention Nantwich as well. I mean, we were saying, you know, the question around the table. Roy obviously was using pure logic by saying, does anyone think Nantwich and Stourbridge aren't going to make the playoffs and Spennymoor aren't going to make the playoffs? Well, Nantwich and Spennymoor went head-to-head on Saturday, and it was a 1-0 draw.
Exactly. I mean, Spennymoor... We've seen Nantwich and the quality that they play. It's no surprise that those teams cancels each other out, because they're both good quality teams. Watch your Spennymoor tonight here at the moment, 3-0 up. I can't see them not, you know, coming away with 3 points here this evening. It'll take them into second spot on goal difference, and the goal difference is tremendous. They've got, you know, they've got goal difference of 36, and the likes of Stourbridge and Nantwich 26 and 25. And I think if Spennymoor actually get into that second spot, I can't see them not staying in second spot. So then it's up to the other chasing three or four, or five or six, or seven or eight, as we now keep saying, to fill them gaps. And, you know, it's changing slowly but surely, and there are a few teams that are having blips, but Spennymoor not one of them. Nantwich not necessarily one of them. Blyth certainly.
They're basically, what they're doing is they're keeping their heads just ahead of the chasing pack, but they are handing the league essentially to Blyth, who do keep winning.
If Spennymoor hadn't won here this evening and Blyth win their game, it would have been their league title, and they would have probably been presented that with it to the Players Awards on Sunday down in Barnsley. But as it is, they might have to go to Saturday now to see whether or not they can lift the trophy on Saturday. But it's going to be, you know, we know Blyth have won, but it's now to that chasing pack, and, you know, the next three games, I think, will separate a few teams, in all fairness.
A nice 1-0 win for Blyth away at Stafford Rangers on Saturday, and we should go down to the bottom end of the table, and it was 1-0 for Hales Owen against Skelmersdale United. We're also going to be speaking to Skelmersdale United, because they've had relatively good news. I know there is no good news at the minute, but at least they've got a ground for next season.
Ben, it's absolutely tremendous news. It's tremendous news for Skelmersdale United. I mean, relegated and also about to be thrown out of their own ground. We did an interview with the vice chairman last week on the non-league Pichero show with Caroline Barker, myself and Dave Anderson. And it was just a travesty. And now this week, there's a little bit more news for us to get into.
And well done, Prescott.
Yeah, and Prescott will come to the rescue, so they'll be there next season. But, you know, the history of football clubs, you know, establishing, 135 years ago, and luckily they'll be playing football there next season as well. And they can rebuild, and now they can think about next season. Everything last week was a talk of actually not having a football club. Now they've got that opportunity.
Another result to mention, Whitby 1, Colville Town 1. Colville have had a bit of an Indian summer in the last couple of months. They've really been tripping sides up higher up the table, and we signed Colville off officially last week. They've had a cracking season, the first season at this level. Job well done, I think, for Colville.
51 points at this stage of the season, absolutely superb, new to the division, and they've shown that they can cut the mustard in this division, work hard, work collectively as a unit, and get the points on the board. You know, they've scored a few goals, 62. They conceded quite a lot this season. In fact, one of the top, you know, there's 70 goals mid-table. Although I say that actually United in 12th spot have also conceded 70. But they can build now, they can enjoy the end of the rest of the season, and they can finish off and build again for next year.
Now, we mentioned the Frickley result against Grantham, the 2-0 defeat. At time of recording, Michalova playing Sutton Coldfield, but it's looking increasingly, it is now, I think it's safe to say, a free horse race for safety this season. For three teams for one safety spot: Corby Town, Sutton Coldfield Town, Frickley Athletic. Sutton Coldfield are playing tonight. Frickley got beat at the weekend, and so did Corby away at Ashton. It's been a bit sticky for Corby of late.
It has, but the fact that they're in the position they're in is absolutely incredible. They were written off by everybody, and they've given themselves a fighting chance, and a huge one. They're actually, you know, they're out the top, the bottom four. They're in 20th spot. Their goal difference is better than Sutton Coldfield's, obviously better than Frickley's by a country mile. It's not as good as Michalova's, but you know, the only downside for Corby is 42 games played, but 40 points on the board. They need to finish the season, for me, 50 points, they're safe, but who knows, they've had a little bit of a blip. Can they go again? That is the question. And it's a famous football club, it's a big old ground, and I don't think they can afford to go another further step down, so they're going to be fighting for their lives, as will Sutton Coldfield and Frickley. Frickley have been in this situation, apart from last season, for a number of seasons, and Frickley really have got to start performing very quickly. If not, they go into the next division.
Now, while I've got you here, just before the teams come out for the second half, just a quick mention for Division 1 South. We received some correspondence in the week. It seemed to me that you did the Basford United team talk for them. They beat Belper Town by 7-1. And can you also mention Stocksbridge Park Steels, because their manager says that we don't mention them. And they beat Spalding United 2-0, which ain't bad.
It's not bad at all. I mean, I suggest that any manager that doesn't think that the team are performing, or think that we've said something not particularly pleasant about them, stick us on in your changing room and you can win 7-1. And that's the easiest way. With the best team talk in the world is listening to the MPL weekly show or the monthly show. It's simple as that. I mean, the one thing to bear in mind about Stocksbridge Park Steels, myself and you, Ben, I've been looking to get there for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and unfortunately weather has not permitted. And then we've looked at the midweek games between now and the end of the season, and they're all away. I mean, tonight they're at Sheffield FC, next week they're away again, and we love Stocksbridge Park Steels. We spent a lot of time there. We've even been to games there when we're not even playing. That's how much we like it. So good luck to Stocksbridge Park Steels. And, you know, hey, Basford. That was annoying again. Basford. Hey, they've got a chance.
Well, Stocksbridge have as well now. They're only 5 points from the playoffs with 2 games in hand over Basford. Anyway,
we'll concentrate on the South a lot more next season, Benny.
No. We've got Andrew Simpson coming on this week's show to discuss Division 1 South. It's a new year.
Why are you getting the stick?
We'll sort it out. Anyway, the teams are now back out, so a big thank you to Swamp.
You're very welcome, Ben.
It's now time to hand back over to the studio.
And a big thank you to the wonderful people at Matlock Town and Causeway Lane for their wonderful hospitality on Tuesday evening. It finished the final score 4-0 to the visitors, though, Spennymoor Town, who were in fine, fine form on Tuesday evening. A result which leaves Matlock Town in 8th position, 3 points from the playoff positions now. For Spennymoor, well, they followed that result up with a thumping Thursday night victory as well, as they beat Ilkeston by 3-0 at home. A result which leaves Spennymoor Town now in 2nd position, 3 points clear of 3rd-placed Nantwich Town. Elsewhere in the league on Tuesday evening, Ashton United went down by 2-1 at home to Workington, a result which sees Workington stay in 10th position, but they're now 4 points from the playoffs, with at least a game in hand over the sides above them. While a bit higher up, it was good news for Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans beat Rushall Olympic by 1-0. While down the bottom end of the table, Michelover Sports 3, Sutton Coldfield Town 1. Easing the fears for Michelover Sports that they were getting dragged into the relegation dogfight. For Sutton Coldfield, it leaves them 4th from bottom on the same number of points as Corby Town. And lastly, for Tuesday night's results, Buxton 2, Ilkeston 0, sees Buxton stay in the playoff positions, 71 points, 2 points behind Stourbridge now, with a game in hand, crucially. But just staying with Ilkeston, obviously it's not been the best of seasons for Ilkeston. Last week we heard about the player issues with their match against Workington, and this week we heard that the league had asked for confirmation that Ilkeston were going to be able to fulfil their fixtures for the remainder of the season, which Ilkeston duly obliged and confirmed that they would be doing so. So, for more now on Ilkeston, we're joined by, well, there's only one place we could go to, really. From the Ilkeston Advertiser, it's the welcome return to the marvellous Mark Duffy. Hello, Mark, how are you?
Hello again, I'm very well, thank you.
So the issues at Ilkeston are now pretty much well documented. There was the Workington issue last week, a game having to be postponed. And this week, the league having to seek assurance that fixtures can be fulfilled towards the end of the season, Ilkeston have confirmed that the fixtures will be fulfilled. Where are we up to now, Matt, with Ilkeston?
Yeah, it's pretty gloomy stuff, really. I think, you know, they're pretty much waiting really for relegation to be confirmed, which I would imagine probably happen in the next couple of games, because I struggle to see how they'll get much out of Spennymoor or Stourbridge in the next 2 or 3 days. So, it probably won't be long before that's confirmed. And you know, off the field, obviously there was this issue on Saturday where the players made their stand and opted not to travel to Workington. Some players were ready to go and play, but obviously enough of them weren't. And you can understand where they're coming from, really. I don't think too many people, even the hierarchy at the club, were entirely shocked by it. I think the whole situation that's been going on with them not being paid for so long was going to come to a head eventually, and it did. And that's obviously been sorted to the extent that the players have made their point. The club have sort of spoken to them, and whatever reassurances have been given, and the players have said, well, okay, we'll carry on to the end of the season. Obviously, they played at Buxton on Tuesday night, and they're just gonna wind the season out now, really, and see how strongly they can finish. But it's pretty dismal stuff down there at the moment, as it has been for most of the season, really.
I mean, earlier in the show we spoke about Skelmersdale, and I said in that interview, someone has to finish bottom, and unfortunately it's Skelmersdale, and unfortunately someone has to finish second from bottom. There's been all kinds of issues affecting the club as the season's gone on. Sean Goethe as well has come in, and I can't imagine what he's been thinking, to be honest.
No, I mean, he said to me this morning actually that he wasn't aware of quite the gravity of the problems when he took the job on, but I think he sees this as very much a chance to develop his own coaching career. He wants to develop as a coach and learn as he goes, and I think he's sort of relishing the challenge in a sense, even though he's not been able to bring any of his own players in, really. He's got to work with what he's got, so he's plugging away with it and doing what he can. But, and he's had a couple of wins obviously, but the reality is that he was never likely to really keep them up. Even with the best will in the world, he needed 9 or 10 wins right from the off, and it's just not happened. And that's down to the squad they've got, and also all the other off field issues have played their part as well. And so, it's just been, the season obviously started badly with the four games that were called off because they couldn't fulfil them because of all the other reasons. Even then, once it got started, things were quite reasonable. They were very much looking like a mid-table side. But then once the experienced players left, it's just gone horrendously, horrendously wrong. It's been awful for the fans. It's been awful from a journalistic point of view to sit and watch it happen. You know, whoever the fans blame and whatever the causes of it all are, it's just it's got to be absolutely the slate's got to be wiped completely clean in the summer. And we can only hope that things improve so they become the sort of non-league club Ilkeston want to be again, really. And that's, you know, a well-supported, competitive team. So yeah, you know, it needs sorting, and I hope it will be. But in the meantime, going to be six horrible games still. So I think it's seven as I speak. Horrible games left that they may have to endure a little bit to get to the end of the season.
Well, we're recording this interview on Wednesday evening, so obviously the Spennymoor match hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But, I saw Spennymoor on Tuesday, and they're very good. Let's just put it that way. Very, very
yeah.
good. So, well, I wish everyone the best at Ilkeston. Obviously, we'll cover it off properly on at the end of season review. Yeah. There is a small chance that Ilkeston could still stay up. So, fingers crossed. It's not official yet. So, there's still always hope. But Mark Duffett, obviously, a big thank you for all your work covering all this season so far. Where's the best place to keep abreast of all the developments? Because I think it's going to be an interesting close season as well at Ilkeston.
Yeah, I certainly think once the season finishes, it will get that bit more interesting. So I would hope anyway. And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to chronicle it as much as I can through my Twitter feed on Duffers Sport. And also, obviously, everything goes on the Ilkeston Advertiser website as quickly as we can as well. So keep an eye on those places for the latest.
So, coming up very shortly, we're going to be having a little recap of Division 1 North and Division 1 South, because we're in April now, it's serious season, so we're going to be keeping abreast of all three divisions over the coming weeks. But we're going to start our look now ahead to the weekend to come with James Hayes, who joins us now. Hello, James, how are you?
Hi, Ben, how you doing?
I'm all good. So, there's some important fixtures this weekend, none more important, really, than Blyth Spartans against Hales Owen. What do they need to do now to seal the deal, Blyth?
Obviously, subject to tonight, as we're recording it at the moment, Blyth have just got to win. That's it. 3 points, Blyth have sealed the titles. They've been fantastic. They deserve what they get this year, but if they throw it away at the last opportunity...
Not happening. It's not happening.
It's not even
the last opportunity, yeah. Is it, James? They've got...
It's not the last...
They've got another four opportunities. It's just, you know...
That's what I mean. If they throw all five of them opportunities away, it's hard to see now, but obviously it's Blyth to lose and against Hales Owen Town, who are now pretty much safe in my personal opinion, especially if Spennymoor win tonight and put Ilkeston right on the counter. Yeah, you can't see past Blyth at this moment in time.
So just to let everyone know, there is going to be a special Evo Stick show out early next week from the awards due. So assuming, and it is an assumption because, you know, you say Hales Owen are safe, so are Colville, but Colville keep pulling out some results. So there are a few avenues where this could go over this coming weekend, but we will get Alan Armstrong on next week's show on that awards do special that comes out early next week, assuming they've won the league. If they haven't won the league, then we'll defer it for another week or so. But, you know, it's just up in the air at the moment. But I think you know, we have to be respectful to all the opposition and all the other teams. But I think even they would agree it's Blyth's. So
it's all
podcast logistics that we're talking about here. Anyway, so Spennymoor, they're playing this evening against Ilkeston. We heard how they did on Tuesday night. A formidable effort, a formidable lineup, a formidable team. Very, very strong and determined. Wouldn't leave Matlock alone. It was cracking performance from Spennymoor. Very, very impressive. They're now in second. I think after this tonight's match, they're going to be second anyway. Nantwich are in third. This weekend, Spennymoor are travelling to Sutton Coldfield, whereas Nantwich Town are hosting Ashton United. Meanwhile, we've got Stourbridge. Stourbridge are in fourth position. Stourbridge this weekend will be travelling to the aforementioned Ilkeston. Now, mentioned it last week, didn't we, on the NPL show. It is going to be them three in the playoffs, isn't it? Or have you got any concerns based on these fixtures this weekend?
I think the only team that can really catch up at this moment in time would be Buxton. I think the top those in the top four at the moment, at least two of them will be there. And again, two of them will be getting the home advantage for the playoffs. You can't see past Spending More at this moment in time. Their form at this moment is ridiculously good. Yeah. You can't see past them at this moment in time. They've geared themselves up ready, more and more likely now, to be the team to stop getting second. It's between Spending More and Nantwich, in my personal opinion, to see who finishes as runners-up now. But the running that Stourbridge have got is quite favourable to them, I reckon. And I think that's going to be a big, big deciding factor, is who can, basically, who's got the mentality now just to survive to the end of the season.
Problem is, though, with Stourbridge, is they have played a game more than Buxton. Buxton this weekend are hosting Colville. Warrington now, you know, they played the same number of games now as Stourbridge, and they're only 2 points behind them. Warrington have got Stafford Rangers. I think you touched upon this, and the table touched upon this at the MPL show last week, about these mid-table sides. Ashton United have proven, Ashton United obviously travelling to Nantwich, Ashton United have proved that they're no mugs in this closing months of the season. Neither are Colville, who are travelling to Buxton. And Stafford Rangers are travelling to Warrington, and they're no mugs either. So despite the fact that they're playing these mid-table sides, stranger things have happened. And I don't even think it would be that strange if the visitors won in any of those games you just mentioned there.
No, definitely not. I mean, again, I said last week as well at the main show that Stafford's focus now is just to finish before Hensford Town, if possible. And it's not necessarily that far off the pace. If you do that, they finish in the top half of the table. And after the season they've had, that'd be a great accomplishment for Stafford Rangers, in my honest opinion.
The bottom half of that table now, they're all fighting for 11th, essentially. Higher up, though, is where the action is. And there is a chasing pack from 7th down. And I feel like it's not quite getting towards do or die yet, because Workington do have a game in hand. And that game in hand is away at Barwell. For Grantham Town are hosting the aforementioned Rushall Olympic. For Matlock will be licking their wounds and travelling to Hensford Town, while Whitby Town, we'll come back to that fiction in a minute, but for those three teams there, Workington, Grantham and Matlock, they are matches this weekend. They really have to get 3 points in.
Got to keep winning week in, week out. If Matlock and Grantham lose this week, I personally think that's their season done and dusted. It's a bit too much to ask, especially with Grantham, who've got the decent cup final.
That's because of games played, you're assuming.
Exactly. More games played, but again, with the fixtures they've got left, they've got to play each other around there. So they've a bit out of their hands at this moment in time. It's for Grantham and Workington personally. They do need a snooker at this moment in point. But Matlock have got, they've still got that little bit of in them just to push forward, because then they'll have a bank holiday game coming up against Buxton, I believe, is it? Yeah. They'll obviously go to Buxton on Easter Monday. If they lose any games before that bank holiday game, I think that's personally them done as well.
Now, let's head towards the bottom end of the table. The good news is, because I believe there's a rumour that the MPL show, the Marine coaching staff are going to be on the MPL show table. So we've been a bit concerned about Marine. We were thinking, we've got to be nice. But the good news is, Tommy Lawson and Dave McMillan and everyone else there at Marine, we reckon you're going to be safe now. So that's good news. Marine are hosting Michelover Sports this weekend. A bit further down, though, it's a proper dogfight now. For Frickley Athletic are travelling to Skelmersdale United. Skelmersdale, there's going to be a big crowd at that game. There's going to be a big crowd at that game. You saw that at Radcliffe, didn't you, when the sad event of the stand burning down, and the next game, loads of people turned up from the local community. When the chips are down, that's when the community come out in action. And there'll be a big crowd there at Stormy Corner. And good luck to the hosts that afternoon. Skelmersdale United against Frickley Athletic. Frickley Athletic, they need the points desperately now. Sutton Coldfield, we said it before, they're hosting Spennymoor Town. There's easier teams to try and get 3 points against. While Corby Town are hosting Whitby Town in what I'm going to argue is game of the day.
It is indeed. I mean, Whitby Town, with that game in hand, could still theoretically be able to lose that game and keep within touching pace. But in any of them three games, you've got to side with Frickley. Frickley will be seen this weekend as a massive opportunity just to get out of the situation. Yeah, you'd expect them to beat Skelmersdale on paper. But as you mentioned before, as we were said around the table the other week, Skelmersdale have got nothing to lose now in the games. They can go out and enjoy the football. But not only that, they've now got the point you just mentioned a second ago about having to go out there and get the community behind them for when they travel to Prescott
Now, that's everybody. And just so everyone knows, we've mentioned everyone there and we've been very nice about everybody. Just so everyone knows and it's clear for Sunday evening. We've been very nice to everybody. We love everybody. Everybody.
We do indeed, yes.
We genuinely do. So a big thank you, James Hayes, for joining us this week on the show. As we alluded to there will be a special podcast out probably on Monday, maybe Tuesday. Give me a chance to have a quick sleep before it gets sent out. But that'll be from the MPL Awards, and we'll be producing a special podcast early next week with loads of interviews and opinions about the title race, the playoff picture and the relegation fight. But James Hayes, thank you for joining us, and we'll be hearing from you early next week.
No worries, Ben. Thank you very much.
So that's enough about the Premier Division. Let's draw our eyes now to Division 1. Later in the show, we're going to be speaking to Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post with regards to Division 1 North. But we're going to start things off with the return of the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own Andrew Simpson for a look now at Division 1 South. Hello, Andy. How's things?
All right, thank you.
I'm all good. So, Division 1 South, bits of correspondence. We touched upon it earlier with Swamper when we were at Matlock. Just to mention, we need to mention Bayswood United. We also need to mention Stocksbridge, because the manager said, at least you get a mention to Bayswood. But this week, we can safely say Stocksbridge deserve a mention. But that's the playoff race. Let's go to the title race, because like Division 1 North, it's finally happened. It's a 5-game shootout. And we've got a proper title race in Division 1 South.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, who'd have thought? And this is a point that Carl McCauley, Witton Albion's manager, stressed to me after the game last night. For those who haven't caught up, Witton drew 2-2 with Spalding in their game in hand last night, which means that they've drawn level now on points with Shore Lane at the top of the table. Shore Lane remain top for now, at least, because they've got actually quite a significantly superior goal difference. Witton led 2-0 against Spalding last night and were pegged back to 2-2. So there was a little bit of disappointment after the game that they'd not seen it through. But to be fair, I think that was more among the players. And Carl McCauley was much more positive in the press conference after the game and said, look, 2 months ago, we were like 15, 16 points behind Shore Lane. Everyone was thinking, how on earth are Witton going to turn that around? They've been on an incredible run. Just to be in the conversation is a brilliant achievement by Witton. They've been so consistent. Whenever they've hit a bump in the road, they've come back and gone on a great run. You know, they had that slip up against Rugby last month that we talked about. Since then, they won 5 straight games going into last night, and now 6 unbeaten after the draw last night. And in the last 6 games alone, they've clawed back 6 points on Shore Lane, who've had a couple of stumbles. So it's just a remarkable effort to have reached this point. I don't sense that's Carl playing it down for the running, by the way. He's absolutely determined that they finish the job. But I think he's always at pains to say, look, let's not beat ourselves up. You know, we've drawn with a team that was only one place below us in the table. That's not a bad result, all things considered. Spalding, little feather in their cap, they are the first team this season in the table's top 5 to take any points at all off Witton. Wow. Witton's record was 100% against everybody. In fact, if you include Rushden, Witton have beaten Spalding away, Newcastle home and away, Bayswood home and away, Rushden home and away, and Shore Lane at home. So, you know, that shows just how well they've done against their direct rivals. So Spalding deserve a lot of credit, not just for coming back from 2-0, but for being the first team to take any points at all off Witton this season. So yeah, 5-game shootout. And of course, on the horizon, for those who are not following it as closely as me, Shore Lane are hosting Witton on Tuesday. Thank you, fixture computer. I mean, that's great, isn't it?
It is great. I mean, I've not spoken to Swampy about this, but I think that might be our game next week for Evo Stick Extra. I think it might be.
Come
it
along.
Has to be, doesn't it? Yeah. Although the last game they played together, it was like watching football on the moon. It was very anti-gravitational football.
It was very windy. It was. But it was still compelling.
Drama.
It was drama filled.
To be fair.
It was.
So we'll discuss this later on anyway about where we're going on Tuesday night next week. But Shore Lane against Shore Lane and Witton Albion. Proper ding-dong stuff. Just a mention, I mean, we'll cover this in next week's show, but there is a fatigue element to this. Witton have crammed in a lot of games in a short space of time now. If they do make the playoffs, it is going to be a tough test, isn't it, to kick off for 2 more games?
It's genuinely a concern. And, you know, they go to Gresley tomorrow, and that'll be their 4th game in 7 days. We've touched on it before, but Witten have been a little bit of a victim of their own success in that they went deep into the FA Trophy. That's why they initially fell behind Shore Lane in games. And then, like everybody else, have also been affected by postponements. But the fact that they were already playing catch-up, that's what's exacerbated their situation. I mean, you know, the last couple of games that I've seen, they do look physically tired, they do. But what will encourage their supporters is that mentally they're still really strong, they've been resolute. I mean, they had to come from behind to beat Chasetown at the weekend. Carlton pushed them really, really hard on Tuesday, and then it was only a late goal that really settled that game in Witten's favour. Yes, they were ahead and let it slip yesterday, but to be fair, there was only one team pushing in the last 10 minutes. Witten really gave it a great go, and so that will become an element. I think when you're winning, you do genuinely feel less tired. I think, you know, if things weren't to go their way in the game against Shore Lane, for example, it will be fascinating to see how they react. And that is a factor. Carl is juggling the lineup as much as he can. 4 and 5 changes for each of the games in midweek this week. And I expect them to make a similar number of changes tomorrow, obviously with one eye on Tuesday's game. But definitely, definitely a factor, without question.
Nothing's changed for Spalding. Spalding are going to be third, no doubt about it. Game of the weekend coming up, though, is it's the team in fourth position, Newcastle Town, I'm not going to say they're solid in the playoffs, because there is a lot of teams now chasing down those player positions. But for Newcastle, it's a home tie against Shore Lane this weekend in the league. It's going to be an interesting game, that one. Do you feel like they do feel the pressure now, Newcastle, with the team being
down? Yeah, I think so. I mean, Newcastle lost 3-2 at Neighbours Market Drayton on Tuesday, and I think that's a really, really painful blow for them, because I touched on this last month, but I will just reiterate now. I mean, their running is absolutely horrendous. They've got Shore Lane at home tomorrow. Obviously, Witten fans will have one eye on that one, hoping that their former manager, Scott Dundas, does them a favour. But then Newcastle finished the season at home to Lincoln, away to Rushton, home to Leek, away to Basford. And again, like I said last month, I suppose you can look at that and say, well, if we pick up points against our direct rivals, we'll be okay. But of the contenders that we're probably going to touch on very quickly now, they by far have the most difficult running. So it's a real test for them, and they could really have done with picking those 3 points up against Market Drayton. Just to deviate ever so slightly, can I give a shout out to Market Drayton?
Of course you can.
They are the ultimate spoilers. It was prompted by seeing their result against Newcastle on Tuesday. And just very quickly, this season at home, they've held Shore Lane to a draw, and they've beaten Witten, Newcastle, Rushton, Lincoln and Stocksbridge at home. They are the ultimate spoilers. So shout out to Market Drayton. So yeah, just to get back onto the playoffs, it's a massive game for Newcastle tomorrow. It really is.
So we mentioned how competitive the Premier Division is for the playoff race. I think we can throw Newcastle Town into this race as well. It's six teams essentially now vying for two playoff spots. Basford United, Rushton and Diamonds, Lincoln United, Stocksbridge Park Steels, well done to them, and Leek Town, all separated by 4 points, essentially. It's cracking stuff, this.
Yeah, and I think just before we started recording, I said to you that, again, I've been through all of... I'm not going to read them all out, don't worry, listeners. I've been through all the fixtures this morning, and they're all playing each other every week between now until the end of the season. Every round of fixtures is throwing these rivals up against each other. That makes it just impossible to predict what's going to happen. Basford, they've played one game more than all everybody else, and three of their last four games are away from home. So they've got it tough. Well, they are in form. They won three of the past four, so they'll be feeling good. Rushton, they've hit a bump in the road. They've lost three of the past four and have slipped out the top five as a result. I would worry slightly about them, but their running is slightly more...
You say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could just touch upon those fixtures this weekend. Leek Town against Rushton Diamonds, and Lincoln United against Stocksbridge Park Steels. Wow.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Lincoln, I mean, I listened to you lot at Heat and Hops last week, and you said that, look, Simo's tipped Lincoln, and you all laughed. I listened, I heard you lot, and they're still going strong, though, aren't they? Four of the past five they've won. They've got themselves in a great position. I think they do have to beat Stocksbridge tomorrow to keep that going. I think but they're very much in the conversation. Stocksbridge, I mean, we weren't talking about them.
No, we weren't. As the manager said.
And do you know what? Fair play, he's right to point out they're in fantastic form. And, you know, if they were to stop Lincoln's great run tomorrow, they're right in the conversation. Leek are the outsiders now. I mean, they had a terrible run where they lost five successive games. To be fair, they've bounced back and won the last two, but they are, I think, relying on favours now. Their goal difference is also the worst of the contenders. The one thing you would say for Leek is that three of their final four games are at home, where they do tend to pick up more points. So I think they've got, we can't count them out, but I think they are the outsiders now in this race. But, you know, they beat Rushton tomorrow, and I'll probably be saying something different come Monday. But that's what's so good about this running, is that the positions are genuinely going to change game by game, and it'll be fascinating to see who comes through it all. But I'm going to stick with my prediction that I made in January, and I think Lincoln will be one of the playoff teams come the end of the season. So there you go.
Well, there you go. And that's the perf race. And obviously, we're going to keep abreast of this week in, week out now towards the end of the season. Just a mention for the relegation picture. This weekend, Rugby Town are playing Loughborough Dynamo. It's a do or die, really, isn't it, for Loughborough, that one?
Loughborough have to win. It's as simple as that. Although I still think that it's too late for them. They've lost 8 successive games. There's absolutely no sign whatsoever of a revival. And their goal difference doesn't do them any favours at all. Rugby, enormous carrot tomorrow to pretty much seal the deal, I would say. I'm kind of sticking my neck out there. Again, for those catching up, Rugby had a really significant win away to Northwich on Wednesday night. They won 3-1. Game turned on a red card decision. A Northwich player was sent off while they were 1-0 up. Rugby went on to win the game. They'll want to play every game at Wincham Park, I think, during the running, by the way, because they've come up here twice in the past couple of weeks. Beat Witten and beat Northwich. So very much a happy hunting ground for them. They are in pole position. Like I say, they pick up 3 points against Rugby tomorrow, and I think that makes it really, really tough then, no matter what they do, for Northwich and Loughborough to get out of it. So, watch this space on that one. On the horizon, talking about fixtures before next week's show, Vicks are due to host Loughborough on Wednesday. I guess how they feel going into that will depend on how they get on this weekend. Northwich are away to Sheffield.
Right. Yeah, well, and you know, the fixture people get a bad rep, I think, because they've served up some right treats in the last couple of weeks or so. In all three divisions, it's been superb stuff. Just to mention, on Tuesday night, we mentioned Shaw Lane against Witten. Have you seen the other fixtures on Tuesday night? Rushton and Diamonds against Stocksbridge Park Steels, Newcastle Town against Lincoln United, and Spalding against Basford. What on earth?
This is the place to be. Division 1 South. Big up.
But Andrew, thank you for coming on the show this week.
That's okay.
How can people keep abreast of everything that's going on this weekend?
Yeah, Twitter, it's @Simo_on_sport. I will be at Gresley to see if Witten can go top of the table tomorrow. And of course, I will be probably like everybody else with an interest in Division 1 South at Shore Lane on Tuesday. Hopefully it'll be a great game, bumper gate, and massive occasions. So yeah, next two games I'll be on the road with Witten to see if they can keep this title push going.
So that's Division 1 South, but what of Division 1 North? Well, over the course of April, we're going to be keeping abreast of everything that's going on in Division 1 North. And joining me now for his stint covering Division 1 North, we're joined by Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post and from Pitchero. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So, last time we had you on, obviously we had you on purely for a Yorkshire perspective, but now you've got to be a bit more balanced. You've got to be nice and warm towards Lancaster City as well. We mentioned last time how it was going to be to-in and fro-in all the way towards the end of the season. And it feels like both Lancaster City and Farsley are both... It's not really convincing from either of them at the moment, is it?
It's like neither of them want it, really. I mean, you look at the runs of form both teams are on. Obviously, they've both confirmed the playoff place, which is kind of the safety net, really. You know, it's not the aim, but, you know, you look at Farsley Celtic at the weekend, they were 1-0 up. They scored an absolute wonder goal to go a goal up against Droylsden, 15 minutes to go, and they end up drawing that game. And then Lancaster City obviously losing to Colne. So it's been very, you know, one of them where you do just feel if one of these teams can just find a little bit of form, three wins in a row, that will surely get them over the line.
And this weekend, obviously, it looks like Farsley's got the easy game of the two. No disrespect to James Hayes, but it's true. Farsley hosting Radcliffe Borough. For Lancaster City, though, they're kind of in box seat in a way. They're 1 point off the league leaders at the moment. They have got that game in hand. But that game in hand is a home encounter with Goole. And Goole are desperate at the moment and quite capable of pulling out a shock.
Yeah, they are. And what Goole are doing as well, they're actually putting free travel on for 25 fans. So basically, you know, they're wanting an atmosphere to be created there. And they did a great job at Prescott Cables. They seemed to really help the team. They were 2-0 down and they ended up getting a draw there. So, you know, Goole are fighting for their lives. That's the reality. And at this point of the season, I've spoken to a few players this week and they seem to think of different teams, and they seem to think it's a case of when you're actually facing the teams at the bottom at this stage of the season, they're maybe a little bit tougher than the teams that, you know, have maybe got a playoff place confirmed or higher in the table, because these are players that know that if they go down at the end of the season, it could very easily be the end of their time at the club. And, you know, then there's that insecurity of jobs and what is going to happen. So that's what you're up against. And I think what Gull have got is that with the young management team that they have, they're showing no fear. They're going to, you know, these grounds. Remember, they beat Farsley Celtic a few weeks ago away from home. So, you know, they've shown that they can beat the big teams, the teams that are doing well in the division away from home. And their aim will be to do that again.
Now, there's no point covering the title picture any more in depth because, as we said last week, it is going to to and fro like nobody's business. But Glossop North End currently in third position. They've got a 3-point cushion down to sixth. For Glossop, what do you reckon? I mean, they're in there.
Yeah, it is one of them where normally at this stage of the season, the team in third, you'd think, right, you know, 5 games to go, they'll be fine. You know, there's no particular worry about that, but the way it's going for them is, like you were saying, that their form is just so, a lot like Farsley Celtic and Lancaster, really. You know, it's just so inconsistent, and especially at home, they just need to, you know, pick that up a little bit and they'll guarantee their place. But the problem they have is there's so many teams below them that are going on these good runs of form, and the argument is that there are certain teams that are just hitting form at the perfect time.
Trafford as well, they seem to be stumbling a bit. And let's focus on the teams who are in a bit of form. Cone, 1-0 against Bamber Bridge midweek, a superb result that one. And Scarborough as well, both topping the form tables at the moment. Just at the same time as Ossett Town are also stumbling. It does feel like these teams who've been 6th, 7th and 8th are starting to get the results together, whereas the teams who've been 3rd, 4th and 5th pretty much throughout this period, they're starting to go for a bit of a sticky spell, which isn't ideal going into April.
No, it certainly isn't. I think Colm's the interesting one, because I spoke to Steve Cunningham last week and he was saying how at the start of the season he told his players we're going to make the playoffs. And he said all of his players basically went, yeah, whatever, boss, you know, you just carry on doing your thing. And look where they are now. You know, they're 7 games unbeaten, and it's been an incredible run. And I think they are the team that you just feel, you know, they have the momentum. But the team I'd be looking out for is Scarborough, because they've got so much riding on trying to gain promotion. You know, it'd be nothing better for them to honour their late chairman, to have that new stadium in a higher division. And, you know, they've hit form at the perfect time. Steve Kittrick has got a squad together as well that has so much experience of being in the playoffs. You know, they've just, I just feel that they've timed this to perfection. And they are going to be the team, I'd say it now, that make the playoffs. I think they'll get that last playoff place. And I think they will be the team that win the playoffs, if I'm being honest, because it does seem like they've just got so much momentum behind them right now.
And we said that last week with regards to Spalding, who've been third all the way through in Division 1 South pretty much. And they're in the playoffs. It's not, I don't think anyone would argue they're not. But it's the team in second you worry for, because like in Division 1 South, Division 1 North, it's a close title race. And as an FC fan, I've been there. My team just got picked to the post 1 year. We go in the playoffs, and that Tuesday night game in the playoff semi-final against Ashton at Gig Lane, no one was up for it at all, and Ashton in the end won. And that's always the case, isn't it? The team in second rarely does well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I follow Guiseley, and a few seasons ago, it was a big race between us and another team, and we missed out just, you know. And the playoffs, you could just tell it was a case of, it was just disappointment to be in the playoffs. You know, it really was a case of, right, should have gone up automatically. Why are we in the playoffs? And in the end, you know, lost the semi-finals, and then you have to rebuild for the next season. And I think that's the issue here. The mentality is completely different. If you finish second, it's a case of what you've missed out on. If you finish fifth, or you go on a big run and you climb from seventh or eighth into that playoff place late on, it's a case of looking at what you've done already and being so happy with it. And then, you know, you've got that momentum going forward as well.
And this weekend, Scarborough have obviously got Burscough. And Burscough this past week, obviously, they've got an R next to the name now. And we wish everyone at Burscough well for the remainder of the season and for next season. But we should mention. Do we think it just goes down to Clitheroe now, or are you still got a faint hope for Brighouse?
It's a difficult one, Brighouse, because they're on. You know, they've actually picked up a lot of games unbeaten. The problem for them is in this division, they are the team that draw the most. I think I'm right in saying they have the most draws, because at home they've drawn 11 times. And, you know, at the end of it, that is the reason why they're not going to get into the playoffs, unfortunately. I just think it's a case they are so hard to beat, but they're just lacking something. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I still think Paul Quinn will be delighted, even if they do miss out on the playoffs. But I do think it's probably one result too many where they've drawn, which is the reason why they won't reach the playoffs this season.
Well spotted that, Tom. I totally missed that. That is a phenomenal record. That played 38, they've won 14, they've drawn 17 and only lost 7. That's incredible. That is a team difficult to beat, and something to build upon probably for next season, I'd imagine. Now, what do you reckon then, Tom? Just a quick closer then for Clitheroe as well. Do you reckon it's just beyond them as well, but they have got a game in hand?
Well, that's the whole thing here. You know, if they can just win that game in hand, all of a sudden they're right on the coattails of getting into them playoff places. And it's just now all about if a team can just go on a 3-4 game winning run, they're going to reach the playoffs. And I think Clitheroe have it in them to do that, by the way. But it's the whole thing then. They're looking at other teams dropping points, and I don't think the teams above will drop enough points for them to do it.
Well, that game in hand is on Tuesday night, by the way, dear listener. That's a very juicy Lancashire derby at home to Bamber Bridge. Boom. Well, Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post and Pichero, a big thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. How can people keep abreast of everything that's going on that Yorkshire side of the Pennines?
Yeah, if you want to look at the good side, it's my Twitter is at Thomas Feeney. And I do try and be impartial, but at this time of the year, it is quite difficult.
He's not wrong. Come on, Trafford. Anyway, thank you, Tom Feeney, and we'll be hearing from you soon. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
And that is the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. A big, big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week on the show. A big thank you too for the Pichero Non-League Show and Caroline Barker for allowing access to that interview with Skelmersdale United earlier in the show. And a big thank you too to Matlock Town for their lovely hospitality on Tuesday evening. One of the finest pie, chips and peas in the league, and therefore in the entire country. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We'll be back next week with a special show from the MPL Awards. But we started the show with Skelmersdale United, and I also said, you know, we like to keep this show as good-natured as possible, and sometimes you get some sad news, and that's what we had to deal with earlier in the show. But we started with Skelmersdale United, and we're going to end with Skelmersdale United. At the end of the day, football is a wonderful sport, and Northern football is even better. You've got the greatest supporters in the world, and furthermore, you've got Northern communities all coming together to celebrate football. And you know, when I say Northern, I include Midlands sides too. That's right, we're all as one here on the MPL show. And at the end of the day, it is all about pies, peas and community, but it's also about dogs running on football pitches. The dog video. One of these videos comes along. I mean, from my FC United experience, we were filming FC United games for 7 years, and our biggest, most successful video we've ever done was an own goal from a Frickley Athletic player from the halfway line. And it just seems ridiculous, but sometimes videos go viral. And tell us more about this dog video at Hales Owen.
Well, Skelmersdale are playing away in the middle of the game, and one of the Hales Owen players has his wife and young daughter there. They've come along to watch him with the dog, and it's a little beagle, and it decides to break loose. And it runs round and round the field, tempting everybody to grab it, and everybody's trying to get hold of it to stop the game. There's people falling over in all directions, grabbing it. It's got a body swerve better than Tom Finney, and none of them can get it. And the whole game was held up for 7 minutes. And of course, we've like most people have seen that it's even made the television in America. young Simon, that's done a lot of the filming from the Skemmersdale perspective, has been very busy with contacts all over. And it's all quite funny stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's what we want from football.
Unfortunately, it is what we want from football. And I used to teach media with students, and they used to say, "What's the secret to a viral video?" And there is no secret, dear listener. It's just luck. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that if football clubs out there, if you want to get some exposure, to just suddenly release dogs out onto football pitches. I don't think that's the way to go. What do you reckon, Neil? I don't think we should encourage that.
That's right, especially if you've not fed them.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.